Brother Ray asked that we read from the 103rd Psalm. And as he read that little thing there about fathers, it just triggered my memory. And he said about monotony. I had a privilege maybe that some of you didn't have with my father. As I got older, I did electrical work, and I wound up in the same factory as my father. He worked Stouffer Biscuit. And you talk about monotony. That was monotony, watching cookies go by, picking out bag cookies. Now, he makes dough a lot of years, but I saw him stand there many days, and it was 100 degrees or more, and he went every day. But I'll tell you what was really a privilege that my father left with me was, even though he was in that factory, there was a lot of women that worked in there, and there was a lot of things went on in that factory, believe me, I know, that shouldn't have went on, and he kept himself separate. And he kept himself clean. And I look back on that as a challenge in my life. I got to witness that. And if I wouldn't have had the job that I had, I never would have known what went on. And it's not just necessarily the job. There's a lot of things out there coming at us. So pray for us fathers. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our faint frame, he remembereth that we are dust. For as for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth, and the wind passeth over it, and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remembered his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. For all those who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
You can keep your Bibles open to Psalm 103. We're going to be looking, not exactly verse by verse, but we're going to be looking at a lot of these verses. As I thought about Psalm 103, verse 1, two questions came to my mind. First of all, what does it mean to bless the Lord? Does the Lord need blessed? If you encourage someone, they would say that you blessed them. There was a need of encouragement, and you gave encouragement. If you're going through financial troubles and there's an envelope in your mailbox with money in it, you might say, well, somebody blessed me with a gift. There was a need of money. But with God, he doesn't need anything, does he? He already has all things. He is self-sufficient. So how can you give or bless someone that needs nothing. The second question was, how do you bless God with all that is within me? David said, not only with my soul, but all that is within me, I will bless his holy name. How do we bless God in a total way? What does it mean to bless God with your entire body? It seems Psalm 103 should give us these answers, because it starts out with saying that we should personally bless the Lord. It says that in the first two verses. Then at the end of the chapter, in verses 20 to 22, it says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of all his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So verse 20 says, angels are to bless him. And I think this is referring to the archangels, the higher in rank, the special angels, they are to bless him. Verse 21, it says, the hosts of angels are to praise him. This is referring to the legions of angels that do his work. Psalm 148, verse 2, praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. And verse 22 says his workers are to bless him. So all creation, sun, moon, stars, trees, animals, everything is to bless him. So the chapter starts with David saying he personally needs to bless the Lord. And the last couple of verses say the archangels, the host of angels, all creation needs to bless the Lord. So it would seem that everything in between should answer the question of how to bless the Lord. If I would open a book up that's laying around, and the first page of that book talks about the need for the husband to bless his wife, and I turn to the back page, and the back page is talking about the need of a husband to bless his wife, I would think that in between, it's going to answer the question, how to bless your wife. And so Psalm 103, between verses 1 and 20, describe five aspects to bless the Lord. The word bless in the Hebrew is pronounced bara. When God blesses man in Scripture, it usually implies God giving him something. God told Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 2, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bara thee. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And this, he was giving Abraham something of honor, something of significance, something that made Abraham special. But when men and women bless God in Scripture, we're usually not giving him something of material. What we are giving God is adoration, honor, praise, worship. God doesn't need blessed, but God desires it. And that is why we were created. As Isaiah 43, verse 7 says, everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory. See, we were created to bless God. The door is designed to let people in and out. A roof is designed to protect the house from rain. Spouting is designed to take water away. Brothers and sisters, you were designed, you were created to bless the Lord, to give him honor and glory. Four times in Scripture, the Hebrew word bless is translated to kneel. You know, it's all about adoration to God. It involves a sense of bless. Blessing God involves a sense of reverence, of awe, of fear, respect, which expresses itself with words of praise and adoration. A.W. Tozer said, the whole import and substance of the Bible teaches us that God, who does not need anything, nevertheless desires the adoration and worship of his created children, unquote. Do you bless God in this way? Or is he just the guy upstairs that you sometimes ask for favors when you're in trouble? To bless God is to be aware of his awesome nature and works towards us and project back to him glory and honor and praise. We see five aspects of blessing the Lord in Psalm 103. And some of these aspects are kind of unique and intriguing. The first two aspects are actually found in the arrangement of the psalm. I found out that in the original Hebrew, in Psalm 103, every verse is the same length. So I'm guessing that every line must have the same amount of syllables. And in fact, in the original, it's also 22 verses, which is also the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. What was David trying to tell us with this arrangement? Well, you know, A to Z is complete. Nothing is missing. It's A to Z. And this is the first aspect. Our adoration is to be complete and thorough. How complete is your daily blessing of God? Do we completely connect the dots? Is it thorough? I know each of you try to be complete in your earthly pursuits. If you're having a birthday party, you try to invite everyone that needs invited. You try to decorate just perfect. You try to have the right kind of food at the party, the right kind of balloons. It needs to be complete to honor a friend for birthday. Everything is covered from A to Z. But our adoration for the God of the universe, is it complete? Or are we missing some letters? Instead of A to Z, is it A to M or only A to B? David said, let your blessing of God be complete. The second aspect of blessing God is also found in the arrangement of this psalm. What is the first phrase of the first verse? Bless the Lord, O my soul. What is the last phrase of the last verse? Bless the Lord, O my soul. So the psalmist started with bless the Lord, and he comes around at the end to bless the Lord. Sometimes we sing songs in rounds. I know at our Bible school, Winter Bible School, sometimes they sing rounds. There is repetition. Well, the psalmist repeats at the end where he started in the beginning. It's a complete circle of blessing the Lord. And this is the second aspect. Blessing God is to be a constant circle of blessing. Do you bless him when you rise and when you go to bed? Do you bless him? Did you bless him upon conversion? And will you bless him upon your deathbed? You see, blessing God is not an event. It's not an occasion. It's a lifestyle. It's a constant circle of blessing. It never ends. Every day, as the earth rotates, the world is greeted by the light of the sun in the east. Then at evening, it appears to set in the west. And then the next day, the same circle of events. It's never ending. You see, God desires that you circle around him. He wants your praise in the morning, your adoration at noon, your fear and trembling and awe of him at night. Do you have this circle of adoration, of blessing? Can you say that my day starts blessing the Lord and it ends with blessing the Lord and everything in between is blessing the Lord? Our blessing of God, our adoration is to be complete from A to Z. It's to be a constant circle of blessing the Lord. The third aspect, blessing God is to remember his past deeds. Verse 2, he says, forget not his benefits. That's talking about remembering his past deeds. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Was David blessing God for forgiving him after his adultery with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah? Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Was David blessing God for his action of protection as he fled from Saul? Verse 4, the latter part of verse 4, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. He blessed God for his love and mercy. Possibly it was at the time that he fled from the evil spirit that was in Saul, and Saul was stopped by the Spirit of God. And David said about this account in Psalm 59, verse 16, but I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble. In verse 5, he said, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Possibly David was thinking back to when the kingdom had been taken from him by Absalom. And 2 Samuel 15, verse 30 describes his despair. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up, weeping as they went up. And then he was cursed by Shimei. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man. David, an older man at this time, was at an end. He was in a valley. But God reached down and renewed him like an eagle. His kingdom was restored to him. And again, it's believed that David, as he wrote Psalm 103, was older. And he remembers and he blesses God. Has God forgiven you? Has he redeemed you from destruction? Have you seen his tender mercies? Have you felt his peace? Have you wept and been discouraged? And has he renewed your youth? As you think about these things, blessings will go round and round. You will not be able to stop. You have so much to praise him for. When trouble comes, we spend so much time pleading to God. But when he forgives and he heals and he delivers, sometimes we spend so little time blessing him. Do any of you remember, like when you were in the New Converts class as a youth or in Sunday school as a young child, you were taught a pattern of prayer called ACTS, A-C-T-S. How many of you remember that? Okay. A stands for adoration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, S, supplication. Adoration. Psalms 103 really zooms in on this aspect. And a brother recently told me, he said, you know, he was taught ACTS as a youth, and he said, in prayer, I know how to confess, I know how to give thanksgiving, I know how to give supplication, which is asking for things. But he said, I don't know how to show adoration to God. Well, Psalms 103, it's 22 verses from A to Z. It's a round of adoration that we can learn from. And that leads to the fourth aspect of blessing God. It requires all that is within me. Verse 1 says, do it with our soul and all that is in me. How do we do that? It means all of me is poured into adoring God. It's not half-hearted. It's not something I do reluctantly or grudgingly. It means all my resources, my mind, my intellect, my emotions, my physical body, my spirit are all focused on producing a constant circle of adoration to God. Pretend I wanted to give a big birthday party for Sharon. And so I rent the Hampton Inn Conference Center for the party. I invite people from all 13 churches that we associate with to come. I have the menu include steak and shrimp. I have a photographer and a videographer to record the event. I decorate the room with hundreds of blooms and have flowers in vases shaped like lighthouses because Sharon likes lighthouses. And I even have a plane fly overhead pulling a banner that says, "Happy birthday, Sharon." And I have her favorite gospel group playing in the background. You would say I went all out to make Sharon feel honored. You would say, boy, Ray gave it all he had. He went into this head and toes. He did it with all that was within him. I want to tell us, God deserves that kind of blessing, but a million times more. He desires we give our whole body in the pursuit of honoring him and adoring him and giving him his glory. We can do it with prayer. We can do it with songs. Ephesians 5 verse 19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's an all-day event. You can circle around adoring God. We can do it with our bodies as we kneel for prayer and as we reach our hands out to him. We can bless him by giving testimony about him. We can bless him by meditating on the things he has done for him. We can do it with our time, a constant, unceasing attitude of blessing toward God. Sharon's, her birthday is actually near Memorial Day. I guess I could just combine her, if I have another kind of party, I could just combine it with a Memorial Day cookout with my family. Just kind of have the cookout and her birthday party all in one. And to make it more special, I could buy 95% lean burgers instead of just 80% burgers. But would she feel blessed when I didn't put anything into it? Does God feel blessed by us? Have we been lacking in our adoration? Have we been blessing God with body, soul, and spirit? Speaking about God and who he is leads us to the fifth aspect. We saw Psalm 103, bless the Lord, talking about adoration. It's to be complete from A to Z. It's a never-ending circle. Go round and round from morning to night, all our life, from conversion to death. We adore him by remembering his past deeds in our lives. We bless him by using all that is within me to bless him. The fifth aspect is to bless him by way of his attributes. An attribute of God is not something God has, but who he is. Attributes zero in on his divine nature, who God is. We bless him, yes, by remembering by what he has done, but also by remembering who he is. Psalm 103, it's interesting, it lists at least nine attributes of God. Verse 1 says, bless his holy name, the attribute of his holiness. Verse 3, who healeth all thy diseases. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. Verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed, attribute of his justice and his righteousness. David blessed God as triune in his threefold blessing in verses 20 to 22. He says, bless the Lord, and then bless the Lord, and then bless the Lord. It's a threefold repetition, bringing to mind the threefold nature of God. He blesses God for his omniscience, in that he is all-knowing. Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He blesses God for his attribute of being an eternal God. His eternal nature, verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Also in verse 19, he says his kingdom rolleth over all. He blesses God for his sovereignty. In these 22 verses, David shows adoration to God by remembering what he did in the past, but also by adoring who he is. His holiness, omnipotence, righteousness, justice, mercy, triune nature, omniscience, eternal nature, and sovereignty. Do we take the time to bless God? Do you show adoration for his attributes, for who he is, for his nature? Just suppose at the start of the birthday party I have to honor Sharon, and this is the one at the Hilton Hampton, I would ask her as she's sitting up front to be honored, I would ask her if she'd be willing to type a 20-page article I wrote. And then one of my children would ask her to babysit next Monday. And then another of my children would ask her if she could wash jeans by Tuesday. And maybe a couple of you would come up to her and ask her to put a one-call prayer request on. At a birthday party that was supposed to honor her birthday, all we do is ask favors of her. I think sometimes that's exactly what we do with God. Lord, please help my health. Lord, please give me another job. Lord, please give me direction on how to serve you. And we ask so much, we forget to give him reverence and the adoration he deserves. Our prayers are all about what he can do for me. So little is about me giving him the honor he deserves. Do we bless and adore God? It is proper to ask of God. And actually, God is blessed by knowing we need him. When we ask him, it's a way of blessing him. In fact, it's interesting, Psalm 102, right before what was read, it's a prayer of asking, supplication. Psalm 102, hear my prayer, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. But David didn't stop at Psalm 102. He blesses God from A to Z in Psalm 103. It's interesting, in Jesus' pattern for prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, which is actually a pattern for prayer, he puts adoration as the first step of prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, adoration. Put adoration first. I remember one of our older ministers, I was just talking to him privately one time, and he told me, he said, Ray, when I pray, he said, I just go and I kneel where I always pray. And he said, before he starts praying, he just starts thinking about God, just getting an attitude of reverence and awe for God. And then, after he has that attitude of reverence and awe, then he starts praying. I encourage us as we pray, let's have an attitude of adoration. And as we do, words of blessing will come out. David listed 9 attributes of God. But what's interesting is he focused mainly on just one of the attributes. In verses 8 to 18, he expounds mainly on the attribute of God's mercy. He lists 8 characteristics of God's mercy, and he blesses God for those characteristics of his mercy. He lists abundant mercy, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenty in mercy. He lists coming expectant mercy. Verse 9, for he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He lists that God's forgetting mercy. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He lists unlimited mercy in height. For as high as is heaven, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. He lists unlimited mercy in width. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He lists unlimited mercy by time. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness upon children's children. You can see the attribute of God's mercy. He broke that attribute down into aspects to express his adoration to God. I want to encourage us as we pray, as we meditate, think about God's nature. And maybe we could zoom in on one of his attributes, like David did on God's mercy in Psalm 103. And it's interesting, in some psalms, like David focused on God's omnipresence. In other words, like, whither shall I go from thy presence? You know, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. In some psalms, David focused on God's power. He talks about how the lightning is a display of God's omnipotence. Psalm 103 was mainly about his mercy. Every day we can pick a different attribute and zoom in on it as you pray to God in adoration. Do we bless God in prayer, in song, in melodies, in our heart? A.R. Fawcett once said, in praising a creature, we may easily exceed the truth. But in praising God, we have only to go on confessing what he really is to us. Hence, it is impossible to exceed the truth. Herein is genuine praise. Matthew Henry said, be not afraid of saying too much in the praises of God. All the danger is of saying too little. Do we say too little? Are we not fulfilling the purpose that we were created to be? The 5 aspects of adoration in Psalm 103, blessing him from A to Z, blessing him in a never-ending circle, adore him with all that is within me. Show adoration by remembering what he has done for us in the past. And show adoration by thinking about who God is, his nature, his attributes. I want to close with this illustration. And then I thought we could read a couple of verses from Psalm 103 together. On a piano keyboard, which key is unnecessary? Actually, every key is needed to be able to play any song. Without just one key, the whole piano can't be what it was created to be. God created you, brothers and sisters, to use every key within you to bring him glory and adoration. Are there any keys that you're not playing? Is the key of prayer missing? Is it the key of making melody in your heart? Is it the key of time? You don't have the time. Is it the key of your emotions? Are your emotions missing? Is it the key of being unwilling to use your body to prostrate yourself before him, unwilling to raise your hand to him? Is the key of remembrance missing? Is the key of thinking of his attributes missing? God wants your life to be an instrument bringing praise and adoration to him. Let him fix the key. Surrender your entire body to him. Give him your adoration from head to toe. In closing, let's read Psalm 103. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 together, and then we'll read verses 20 to 22 together. So first of all, Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2 together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now we'll start at verse 20 through 22. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God bless each of you as you bless the Lord.
Brother Ray gave us some good reminders this evening why we should bless the Lord, and I was glad I could be here. I think blessing the Lord is not an option. I believe it's something that is gonna come out. It's gonna be natural for us. I remember right after 9/11, that was in 01 for some of the younger ones. You heard a lot of talk about God bless America. I don't know if you remember that. And I remember seeing a bumper sticker that said, America bless God. Somebody reversed that, and they realized that's what we need to do. And, you know, God's not going to bless us as a nation if we don't bless him. And often thought about that, you know, we need to bless God. I think it was in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about how we can sin less as we grow in God's grace. And I think one of the keys is, we need to bless God and be aware of sin that is around us. You know, the greatest commandment, we're supposed to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. I think if we do that, we will realize that we live in a fallen world, and there's sin around us, and we need to be aware of that. So I'm thankful for the message tonight, and let's stand and give God the glory.